Welcome back, friends. Thanks for joining me. My name is Leon Pittard. I'm the host of Fair Dinkum Radio. We are broadcasting from the land down under in Australia. Well, the people in Australia are concerned about many things. We are under assault on many different fronts. But specifically, what we need to look at is the way that this current government and the legislative system is out to take control of all resources. Not only resources talking about mining and our natural resources in the ground, but also the resources that you and I own, namely the economy, the money that we have actually worked for and put into bank accounts. On May 31, the Treasury Legislation Amendment came in to act, which meant that unclaimed money or other measures that have not been, that are in inactive accounts for over 3 years can be seized by the federal government. Now, as if this wasn't bad enough, this morning a media release passed my desk stating stop Parliament from secretly legislating to steal deposits. Demand Glass-Steagall law instead. So joining me to speak about this is Craig Isherwood of the Citizens Electoral Council. Craig, welcome along. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Leon. Good to be on.
Well, Craig, talk to us about what this is. As I just mentioned in our introduction, that they have already passed this act, which basically means that if we don't touch our accounts in 3 years, basically they can confiscate those funds. Now, I do have some stories documented that of where this has already happened to people, and it looks like there's hundreds of millions of dollars that the government is just going to reap out of people's accounts on that act alone. But what's this one here that your media release is about? Talk to us about it.
Okay, well, people remember Cyprus, Leon. Look what happened in Cyprus. That people, I think, were stunned right throughout our country, but throughout the world, that all of a sudden the banks were closed. And the announcement was made that the government, the banks, were going to literally freeze the deposits of their depositors. And since that period, there was a big freak out because, Cyprus is part of the Euro system, the Eurozone, and Angela Merkel had to step in and say, no, the deposits are guaranteed up to 100,000 euro. So anyway, that people sort of, this could have started a massive systematic run on the banks right throughout Europe if they hadn't even said a few things like that. Now, the point is that the banks did reopen. They froze all amounts in accounts above 100,000 euro, and people no longer have access to those deposits. Now, a few weeks later, Spain, in one of the big banks in Spain, did the same thing, froze people's accounts, and they converted them into shares. Right? Now, this is a process called bail-in. And what we have now is called the Cyprus model, where depositors' funds are literally frozen and then converted into shares. So the banks, in a sense, recapitalize themselves by taking a liability, which is the person's deposits, because deposits are regarded as unsecured creditors. So when you put your money in the bank simply writes out an IOU, we owe you this money, right? So you become a creditor. So what the bank is now saying is that if we get into trouble, we're going to steal your money and we're going to give you worthless shares in order to be able to keep ourselves afloat. Now, this is a big, big deal. Now, currently, what's happened, Leon, is that we have been looking at this bail-in question from what's been done in the United States with the Dodd-Frank bill. And in the United States, it's the same thing. There's been a declaration by this organization called the Bank of International Settlements, which is the central bank of central bankers, and its subsidiary, which is called the Financial Stability Board. Now, the Financial Stability Board was established in 2009, and Kevin Rudd signed Australia onto all the dictates of the Financial Stability Board. And one of those dictates is that it has to maintain the countries that sign into this have to maintain financial stability of the system. And you have these huge banks called G-SIFIs, which are globally systemically important institutions, right? That's what they're called. And this Financial Stability Board set out to create mechanisms to prevent the too big to fail banks from literally destroying their entire financial system. So you've had the Dodd-Frank bill passed in the United States, which allows these banks to steal people's deposits and transfer them into worthless shares. Now, what stunned us is that the Bank the Financial Stability Board has on its steering committee Glenn Stevens from our Reserve Bank.
Yep.
So we're thinking, look, this is one gigantic speculative system that has no concern about the sovereignty of nations. In fact, completely the opposite.
Now, just let me come in there, Craig. Now, apart, ladies and gentlemen, talking with Craig Isherwood of the Citizens Electoral Council. Now, apart from you, there was an article, as your media release states, on the 3rd of June in the Australian Financial Review. But this endeavour has really come from the Bank of International Settlements through this Financial Stability Board. Now, they reported to the G20 that this legislation is in train. So, in Australia, to give APAA or APRA deposit confiscating bail-in powers. So, what you're actually trying to point out here to the people is that this is well advanced, and the Cyprus model is basically a precedent that was set to say that the empire can basically take everyone's funds. If they're in trouble, well, what you have in the banks, that's theirs.
Well, let me tell you how this worked, because, yes, John Kehoe from the Australian Financial Review published an article, Shareholders' Creditors Must Pay If Banks Fail, BIS. Now, he was reporting on a report from the Financial Stability Board, and we said, whoa, this is big. This is bail-in. They're going for bail-in. So what we did again, and I did a lot of it, we then began an in-depth research project when we came across this April 15th report that literally said that legislation is in train in Australia for bail-in. And we thought, well, no, what is this? Where has this come from? So we've been scouring the legislation. We've been talking to as many people as possible to find out where is this legislation that is causing this going to cause the stealing of Australian deposits. But see, there's also another big furphy here, in that on the in 2011, actually September the 11th, 2011, Wayne Swan came out and declared that 99% of all bank deposits are going to be secured through the financial claim scheme. Unfortunately for Wayne Swan, 10 days later, the Financial Stability Board came out and said that the financial claim scheme will not cover the deposits in the big four banks, because those big four banks are too big to fail. Now, there's a whole regime put in place which follows the what's called the key attributes of the Financial Stability Board. Now, these are attributes that are literally are designed by the Bank of International Settlements and this Financial Stability Board to deal with banks that fail. And Australia has a huge regime of these, basically through APRA, as you say, to literally take over banks, to reorganise banks, to recapitalise banks, and so forth. And from what I can see, the financial claims scheme will never be used, because the smaller banks will simply get gobbled up by the larger banks at the direction of APRA. And the bigger banks, well, this is why they need these bail-in powers, because the banks, you're looking at the Commonwealth Bank has a huge number of deposits, about $350 billion in deposits or something. It's huge. And therefore, this particular scheme can't apply. So we're blowing the whistle on this, Leon, big time.
Yep.
We don't want bail-in in this country. The fact is that they, in order to deal with these the big four banks, that would be their only option. This is what has been brought in internationally to deal with these so-called globally systemically too big to fail banks. And that's the model that Glenn Stevens, in a speech in 2009, lauded, that there's a sense that bail-in is necessary for Australia. So this is a huge scandal, and we're going to continue to blow the lid on it. And I suggest to all your listeners, log on to our website, www.cecaust.com.au, and follow these developments, and also get our media releases like you got directly or indirectly, because I mean there's a lot of people very, very concerned that this could even be proposed in a country like Australia.
Well, let's just think about it worldwide. I mean, the global economy is in real trouble, and in Australia, we're just following suit. We just seem to be recklessly going down this track where debt's never been as high as it has before, and yet this debt, as you're pointing out, is really based on derivative debt. It's not debt based on any real economy as such, but it is this derivative fraud that's taken place worldwide. In Australia, we're just following lockstep with the rest. But isn't this, I mean, if we look at what's taken place in Europe, we mentioned Cyprus, if we look at all of the other countries that are going down too, America can't pay back its debt. Isn't it a fact that the financial collapse, a financial meltdown, must happen? And this is one of, and this is just one of the mechanisms that they're wanting to put in place because they know that it must happen, and therefore they are wanting to take this position that they own everything, the empire owns everything, that's the base position, but they're just wanting to put it into legislative enactments.
Well, look, their system is going to implode. There's a $1.4 quadrillion derivatives bubble in the world today. Australia has $1.2 trillion of foreign debt, of which about $80 billion of that's in the financial system itself. The banks here are bankrupt from the point of view of also their exposure to derivatives, which is in the vicinity of $19.8 to $20 trillion dollars of the notional capital value of these things. The solution to this, though, Leon, is, and everyone should get totally despairing by this, because there is a solution on the table, and it's being that there's two bills in the U.S. Congress for the reintroduction of Glass-Steagall legislation.
Yeah, we'll talk.
And what that
about.
Means is the Glass-Steagall says we are not going to pay back the speculative debt. We are going to maintain the integrity of a commercial banking system. We're going to protect the banking system that we need to run the economy. We're going to break up the two big failed banks. We're going to separate out the insurance houses and the stockbroking houses and all the other bits, and we're going to have simply a commercial banking system which can be then recapitalized through what we call national banking or national credits. Now, internationally, that's what Lynn LaRouche has been fighting for. You have two bills. You have Marcy Kaptur and bills in the lower house in the U.S., and you have Tom Harkin's bill in the upper house in the U.S., which has got, the lower house one's got about 65 signatories to it at the moment. Here in Australia, we propose the same thing. We have to have a separation of the speculative side of the banking system and reinvigorate an actual really highly regulated commercial banking system. Look, we had the Commonwealth Bank up until about up until the 1990s. We've had a highly regulated and very effective banking system because of what was done with the National Bank in the form of the Commonwealth Bank right throughout our history. So we have a history of this, and we can go back to that very quickly. But we have to dump this and forget about paying all this speculative debt.
And I understand one of your solutions is, of course, return to a community-owned bank.
Well, a national bank, actually.
Yeah, national
Leon.
Bank, but owned by the
national bank means it's owned by the government for the purposes of creating credit to expand the physical economy of our nation. And that means you have to spend money into infrastructure, hospitals, roads, rail, research and development, and to completely transform our economy. That means you also have to deal with the policies of globalization, free trade, deregulation, privatization, and dump them as well. So we represent the policies of what the old Labor Party used to represent in the form of Ben Chifley, John Curtin, going even back to King O'Malley, Frank Anstey, and so forth. These people knew what the common good was and the benefit of the general, of fighting for the general welfare of the population. That's what we stand for, and consequently, if you stand for those policies, you must reject this policy of global monetary speculation. And it's going to bring the world to its knees if we continue, and they intend to steal people's deposits.
Absolutely, and I'd like to talk with you a bit further into the future on this, but we should be spending money in infrastructure in this country, and it should be money that. The money spent on infrastructure in this country will benefit the people always. And yet what we're seeing by continual privatisation of all these different aspects of life, the government is still taking money off the people, but we're getting nothing else in return, and we're having to pay private corporations for the things that we would have once made ourselves.
I'd love to see the Ford factory here in Geelong retooled to produce high-speed carriages for a high-speed magnetic levitation train system around Australia. We have to maintain our machine tool capacity because that's the high technology driver for any economy. And that has to be done through government-directed credits. It has to be done through government-directed programs, because as soon as you pit private interests of private profit against the idea of a government that represents the general welfare, then you have an almighty clash. and it's always the people that lose out.
Okay, well, in closing, direct our listeners once again to your website and what they should do.
Yeah, it's www.cecaust.com.au. Jump on, get our media releases, have a look through the site, and you'll see all of what I've been talking about is backed up. There's also other links to other sites around the world where people can follow this at an international level.
Craig Ashwood, thanks for joining us. We appreciate your time.
You're most welcome, Leon.